Telly, I'm so glad you're here.
It's good to be here, Julia.
There's never a dull moment when you work with me.
We always have
There's
fun.
Always something happening.
Yes, yes.
All right, let's get right to it.
This is the three. At three on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Okay, number one. New information just into our newsroom about the Slender Man stabber who was on the run for about a day. Police say she cut off her monitoring bracelet, left the group home where she had been ordered to stay Saturday night, and she was found about 200 miles away in a Chicago suburb, sleeping on a sidewalk with a 42-year-old man that authorities have not identified how she knew him at all. A person working at the truck stop called Folsom Police, and first, Morgan told the officer a fake name. But after pressing her for about 10 minutes, she gave up.
She simply told the officer, here's my real name. You can Google me and you'll find out who I am.
The reason why this 22-year-old being on the run scared so many is because she was sentenced to be in a mental institution for 40 years after stabbing her classmate 19 times to appease the fictional character Slenderman. The victim survived after crawling for help through the woods onto a bike path in Waukesha County back in 2014. The girls were just 12 years old, so she spent, Morgan Geiser, 10 years in this mental health institution, and she was just released, as far as we know, everything was signed September 17th. And then this Saturday, so about 2 months, she was on this release, this conditional release in a group home.
Yeah,
this happens.
Yes, there's so much to say about that, Julia, because you think about the people that were advocating and saying that they felt she wouldn't be a threat to society. And not even 2 months after you get released from the mental health facility that you were at for 7 years, you decide that you want to cut your GPS monitor off your ankle and...
Yes, the argument was that
wow.
She is better. There were people that had testified, and her defense said that she no longer has schizophrenia, and she was put in that group home just outside Madison this past summer. So the ankle monitoring device, she was set to be on supervised release through 2058, so who knows what's going to happen now.
And you're violating that in 2025. You got 23 more years. That's not a good start, Julie.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good start. Number two. Crash dummies. That's what we're talking about. They've been so important to make sure we are safe in a car crash, but they have not been changed out for decades, and never have they used female crash dummies. Never thought of that. The Federal Transportation Department has approved new standards for a crash test dummy that more accurately captures what happens to the female body in a crash. Most cars are made up from what happens to the body of a man from about a half century ago. Things have changed. Female drivers are 75% more likely to get hurt in a crash, 17% more likely to die, and that was linked to how the cars are designed. The new dummy has female necks, collarbones, pelvis, and legs. Legislation is in the works to make it mandatory and to test with the female dummy in the driver's seat. Right now, it only requires the female dummy to be in the passenger or back seats, even though women outnumber male drivers by about 3 million.
Wow. That's incredible.
That is. And again, when I first read this, Julia, and you presented it, you don't even think about that,
no.
Where there are female crash dummies. And then even from the male standpoint, the male body has changed so much over the decades.
In the past 50 years.
Yes. And you still have the same person that's probably 5'8", 150 pounds, which no one is.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a good thing that they are incorporating female crash dummies now.
Absolutely. Number three, the Packers killed it yesterday at home against one of our storied rivals, putting in 5 sacks.
He's sacked back at the 47. Warren Brinson, the rookie from Georgia. Second half begins with a throw. That was the intention, and Micah Parsons had other plans. They line him up at linebacker here, and he just barrels his way in there, and Devontae Wyatt has a sack of his own. Fake the toss. Parsons is coming, and he's got his second sack of this third quarter. Gary able to get there. Couldn't get him down, though. Now McCarthy takes another sack. Devontae Wyatt, second of the game.
Oh, that was incredible. In the second half, the Vikings only made 4 yards. Isn't that incredible?
And see, Julia, here's the thing, though, because you're going to have haters that are going to say, well, the Vikings quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, isn't that good, and this is what they're supposed to do. But nothing is guaranteed in the NFL. We learned that against the Cleveland Browns. We learned that against the Carolina Panthers. So you can't just go in and say, well, they're not good, so we should dominate. You actually got to go out and do it. And the Packers did that yesterday.
Yes, and we also have our Green and Gold Insiders coming up at 4:15 with Packers champion Brian Bulaga. We talked to him about a concerning injury as well that just came out that we just learned about Jordan Love. 3:15 on WTMJ. A federal judge has dismissed the criminal cases against former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James. We have ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks joining us live. Royal, can you get us up to date on the very latest?
Yeah, what happened here is that the judge believes that Donald Trump's pick for U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Virginia was an interim attorney who stayed longer than her 120-day limit. If you're a U.S. attorney, you have to be approved by the U.S. Senate, except it's okay to be in there for 4 months if you're just interim. Well, the judge feels that this U.S. attorney did the indictment work after the 120-day deadline. But the good news for the Trump administration is the judge said the indictments are dismissed, but the Department of Justice is free to try again without violating the rules by using a U.S. attorney that is street legal.
So, Royal, it seems like with that being said, there's pretty much no doubt that President Trump is not going to just stop now. He will most likely pursue more charges or try to get this done over again then, correct?
Yeah, you can probably make a lot of money going to Vegas and bet on that. But here's the twist. The judge said something really interesting in her ruling as to the Comey case. Everybody assumed that the statute of limitations was ticking away and there were just 5 days left when they indicted him a few months ago. And so the idea was, well, if it gets tossed out, the law generally says, well, the government has 5 days to run around like crazy and get him reindicted. But this judge expressed the opinion that because the appointment of this U.S. attorney was illegal from the get-go, that the Comey case may not even survive because the statute may have expired. Now, that hasn't been resolved. Comey's lawyers didn't even make the argument, but it sounds like this judge would be receptive to the argument. So it's possible that Letitia James will have to face charges with a refiled indictment, but Comey might be off the hook. We just don't know yet.
Oh, so the deadline, we've already passed the deadline, so we may not be able to charge Comey at all again, right?
Yeah, so it's very weird, but the situation is because they crept up so close to the statute of limitations deadline back in September, they had just 5 days to go. Now that they find out today their indictment is gone, generally they would have those 5 days still available, because that's what the law says, to re-indict him. They'd have to go quickly to an emergency grand jury and indict him. But if the implication of what the judge said in her order stands, she may say, if they try to reindict him, sorry, you didn't have 5 days. You didn't have any days at all, because the statute really expired months and months ago because you blew it when it came to trying to pass off this interim U.S. attorney as legal, when in fact, according to the judge, she was not legal.
Royal, do you think today's decision will stop or make President Trump hesitant to go after other political foes?
Well, it's very unlikely, because his track record is that, you know, he fights and he sometimes loses and then wins at the appellate level. And of course, you know, what we're talking about here in terms of today's decision, that's the trial court decision. And up the appellate ladder, you've got the Court of Appeals, and higher than that is the Supreme Court. And Trump knows he appointed 3 of the 9 justices on the Supreme Court. The conventional wisdom is that there's a 6-3 or 5-4 conservative majority. So, yeah, I would be very surprised if he gives up the fight, either with respect to Comey or Letitia James.
What is Comey charged with? What are the accusations and Letitia James?
Yeah, the argument against Comey is that several years ago, he was called to Congress to talk about the investigation of Trump for Russia collusion back in the day. And allegedly, he lied to Congress and obstructed a congressional investigation, lied about whether he told some of his folks in the FBI to communicate with the press. Now, If the Republicans in the House have him on perjury, then that could stand. Of course, if the indictment is tossed forever, he won't get a chance to do it. Switching over to Letitia James, she was one of those cases where she had a second house she bought, goes to the mortgage folks and says, hey, I'd like a nice loan on my second home. And they said, well, you're going to live in it, right? It's a second home. You're not going to rent it out, right? She said, oh, no, I'm not going to rent it out, because that would make the rent, or the mortgage interest a little higher, because, you know, they might trash the house if you're a renter. The bank is worried about that. And so the argument is that she lied because she had a relative move in there. She had no plans to use it as a second home. Those are the substantive allegations. But what you're seeing here, of course, is way before the merits. It's all of this procedural snarl of allegations back and forth on technical issues like a statute of limitations, way before a jury could sink their teeth into the substantive charges against James or Comey.
ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks.
I want to tell you about a disturbing case out of Washington State that has Milwaukee connections. A man and woman who are dating are accused of having an obsessive plan to kidnap children. The plot was to befriend families with children. And the two are Haley Davidson and Billy Moore, now behind bars, just charged south of Seattle after a search warrant last week. Authorities were given a cyber tip about hundreds of uploads to Google made by Davidson and Moore, which had child sex abuse material, some of which authorities believe they produced themselves.
Police, search warrant, open the door! Police, search warrant, open the door!
Come on.
There's the search act that just happened. Court records say when investigators searched their home, they found handwritten notes on how to kidnap children. This includes prescription drugs that they would use in the kidnappings, and they found 8 bottles that neither were prescribed, something Billy Moore admitted to writing and getting. They each were charged with attempted kidnapping, attempted child molestation, possession of child sex abuse materials, and they were getting close. The Pierce County deputy in Washington says they have evidence of the couple communicating with children online, including 2 children that were very close to where they lived in Washington State. And they found 2 years ago, they both took a road trip from Seattle to Milwaukee to find a child that the man was obsessed with. When they got to Wisconsin, they could not find the family and they gave up. Here's Carly Capetto with the Pierce County Sheriff's Office.
Some of the communication that was located, found, and some of the evidence shows that they have been communicating with local children and families in our community.
Inside the couple's bedroom closet, detectives say they found a panel on the wall that, once they removed it, it led to a hidden void with what appeared to be a shrine dedicated to child sexual abuse material. And they said that was very disturbing.
There was enough there that it was going to happen. The fact that our team was able to get in there and to prevent something from happening is pretty amazing.
Both Davidson and Moore are being held on $2.5 million bond, and this was all because of a cyber tip. Someone who was looking out for children who are exploited online spotted these Google documents that were being downloaded by the hundreds, and the detectives are trying to see if some of the images were actually produced by this couple. So how close of a tie something so far away has to Wisconsin, which is very disturbing.
It is very disturbing. It's just so jaw-dropping. That's why I couldn't find any words. It still doesn't seem like this is a real story, but to know that these people or this couple would go to these lengths to try and kidnap kids, and this is the second time that something like this involving kids had a Milwaukee tie with Travis Decker killing both of his daughters out in Washington State and had Pewaukee ties, and so this is when you're talking about these things and cyber crimes like this, there are no boundaries. There, you know, it could happen anywhere. And just to know that there was a link between people that are thinking of these sick things out in Washington State to actually drive all the way to Milwaukee to try to carry this out. And fortunately, they couldn't find who they were looking for. Otherwise,
no kidding,
we would be talking about a whole different story right now.
Oh, absolutely. And it also, you know, speaks volumes on why you should protect your images, images of your child online, even if it's family photos. That's what this guy became obsessed with, was a Milwaukee area family. And that's why he drove out there. Yeah. Was because he was obsessed with this specific family that, thank God, he didn't find. New information into our newsroom about the Slender Man stabber who was on the run for about one day. Police say that Morgan Geiser cut off her monitoring bracelet, left the group home where she had been ordered to stay on Saturday night, and she was found about 200 miles away in a Chicago suburb, sleeping on a sidewalk next to a 42-year-old man. A person working at the truck stop called the police, and at first, Morgan told the officers a fake name, they say, but after pressing her for about 10 minutes, she gave up.
She simply told the officer, here's my real name. You can Google me and you'll find out who I am.
Could you imagine Googling Morgan Geiser?
Wouldn't it just be easier for you to just say your name? Like, why would you want somebody to Google you?
Yeah, it's worse.
It would be worse. I mean, the officer could have said, oh, another Morgan. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh. The reason why this 22-year-old being on the run scared so many is because she was sentenced to be in a mental institution for 40 years after stabbing her classmate 19 times to appease the fictional character, the Slender Man. The victim survived after crawling for help through the woods onto a bike path in Waukesha County back in 2014. A biker stopped an older man. He called 911. She survived. The girls were just 12 years old. At the time, she had told people she thought she could talk to Harry Potter characters. She thought she had Vulcan mind control, like Spock from the movie Star Trek. She was diagnosed with schizophrenia, which is extremely rare in young children. Then, fast forward 10 years on, her lawyer and family had been trying to get her released for years, arguing to the judge she's better. People were testifying she no longer has schizophrenia. A Waukesha County judge ordered her conditional release from the Winnebago Mental Health Institution back in February. That came to a swift halt when the judge put a stay on that order. She'd eventually be put in a group home just outside Madison in September.
We support that she should be in custody. Not only should she have been in custody from 2014 forward, but also Attorney Nikolai argued vehemently for her not to be released to conditional release.
That's the Waukesha County District Attorney speaking today. So what were those arguments? Let's go back to the petition by the Winnebago Mental Health Institute to help prevent her release, citing many concerns, including a book she was reading called Rent Boy. It contained themes of sexual sadism, graphic content, according to the petition, argued back in March. There was also concern then about contact with a man outside of the hospital, okay, who had an unnatural interest in her crime, according to court records. We found she had sent letters and drawings to this man, and he was trying to sell those photos on Facebook. He was calling it the Slender Man package.
We found that there were letters and drawings that she had sent him, a postcard, and he was selling them. He was selling the items.
Were you able to see the drawings that he was purporting were from Ms. Geiser?
Yes.
Were they concerning to you?
Yes.
Why?
They were very dark in nature. I would describe it as a horror type picture.
So again, this is the time when they were trying to stop her release, okay? I'm taking you back to that court date. Here's Morgan's defense attorney saying,
but you were also aware of the fact that Ms. Geiser has been drawing disturbing things for a long time. And Dr. Lumbaum was aware of that when she suggested that Morgan was appropriate to be released, aren't you?
That's the report.
This is not new. Her doing a disturbing drawing is not a new fact at all. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. So we'll put that to the side.
The court doesn't know how long those two communicated with each other, but they did learn that was concerning when it comes to sexual behavior.
Did you learn any information about JP that was concerning as it related to sexual behavior?
Yes.
And what was that?
She recalled that he would get sexual gratification from her index offense. And I believe that there were letters written back and forth.
Geiser said she gave up this information, that this man, we don't know if it's connected to what just recently happened, came to visit her. And then Morgan herself stopped the contact. Morgan's lawyer revealed in court That man was obsessed with true crime, with this case, and was at one time a corrections officer.
What?
Yes, Geiser's defense attorney correcting the record at the time that he'd been in the visitor log since 2022.
The records at Winnebago reflect the fact that he was a known visitor to their facility.
Yes.
Again, reporters did ask today in the news conference, was that man she was found with yesterday the same man who was visiting her in this mental health institution that was brought up? The DA says she does not know, but pointed to making the court aware of notoriety in this case across the country that has brought upon us sickos.
Wait a minute, Julia. Before we continue, if you know that she's been communicating with them and you know who she was found with, how can't you figure out if that's the same person or not? That's number one. Number two, this is a clear case of an attorney can make anything sound believable. And in this case, her attorney, Tony Cotton, is the one saying, well, this is a part of therapy, but it clearly shows that she still has some disturbing thoughts that should be reevaluated before just saying she's good now. All of a sudden, she doesn't have schizophrenia anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Another girl was convicted in this case, Anissa Wire. She was convicted of luring the victim to a park and then into the woods. She was convicted of urging Geiser to stab the victim and left her for dead. In 2021, Wire was granted conditional release to live with her father, ordered to wear a GPS monitor, but the GPS monitor was removed in 2023. She's still on supervised release. The victim in this case, Peyton Lautner, survived. She said that she did it out of her own strong will to live. She crawled bleeding to that bike path. Here's the victim's parents speaking out her bravery on ABC News.
Did you ever think you would get her to where she is today?
She had so much determination to not be defined by this event and not be the girl who was stabbed that I really think that it's her determination to live a different kind of life that's what's gotten us here.
What she has taught me is strength and will, just the sheer will to get through anything.
So this brings us to yesterday, when the victim was notified by the Waukesha County DA's office that Geiser was on the loose. The young girl that had been nearly stabbed to death, her family and herself were notified, yeah, the person that did that to you, we don't know where she is.
To make sure that they knew about it. They did not know anything about it. We wanted to make sure that they were safe and that they had a plan in place. Obviously, we want to safeguard her safety and the community's safety. Because frankly, when she's released, based upon some of the evidence that came out previous hearings, we have concerns about the safety of the community as well.
So the DA is saying we're concerned about the safety of our entire community. For that matter.
And fair enough. And I saw some interviews by some of the neighbors where Morgan Geiser was staying in the neighborhood in Madison. They had no idea she was there. And so you go from this person you're hearing about on the news to, man, she's been living around the corner from me and no one wanted to tell me this. And then now she escapes. And then the poor victim here, this happened in 2014. So I'm sure she's still replaying this in her mind.
Oh, yeah.
And 11 years later, the person that tried to kill you has escaped from a group home.
We have no idea where she is.
How do you think that makes her feel?
Terrible.
I mean, because first off, we didn't even know she was in Madison. And so who's to say, yeah, this is not good. This is not good. And the people that were advocating for her to get out of the mental institution, they really got to look at themselves now and go back and say, okay, did we jump the gun? Or, I mean, is she really ready to be released into society again? And so I mean, according to this and these actions and her getting to this group home in September and it's now November and you escape, that's not a long period to show any sort of judge
right.
that you are ready to be a regular citizen again.
So what happens next here? I listened back to the news conference. Geiser will be extradited back to Dane County, where she'll face charges for violating her conditional release. It is now up to the Department of Health Services to petition the court to withdraw her conditional release. She is under the custody of DHS. Okay, which will be heard in Waukesha County. court if that happens.
Julie, it really seems like a no-brainer. When you violate the terms of your conditional release, then it's revoked. And I'm sure removing your GPS monitor is one of those conditions you're not supposed to do.
I know.
So I don't know if you could go back and say, oh, it was a mistake or whatever the case may be, because the conditions were what they were. And the you violated them.
The only thing I can see is if she was coerced to do this.
Coerced how? I mean, because she still had to leave unless someone kidnapped her away from the home.
There you go.
I don't think this is going to go.
Okay.